Here's a story about the temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4. The final and the crowning temptation that the devil offered Jesus was what? Let's begin with the 8th verse. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. That's the most riches anybody had ever been offered. The whole world. And saith unto him, to Jesus, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. There was the final crowning temptation the devil tried on Jesus. What did Jesus answer? Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan says, fall down and worship me. Jesus said, get behind me. God says you should only worship God. So the worship of riches of this life is the worship of what?
The devil.
It is devil worship. Let me tell you something. The ultimate philosophy of communism is pure materialism in its most self-righteous state, and is also the worship of riches, even if only a fair share of riches. It's putting those riches before God. We're caught in the middle, as Christians, between the capitalists and the communists. Both are pure materialism, and the worship of the material, which is the worship of the devil. The Lord warns us about these things. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Those are exactly the things which most threaten riches. Moth and rust and thieves. Did you know that? Those threaten all riches. If your riches happen to be wooden, the termites will eat it. If they happen to be metal, it'll rust. And even if the termites, the bugs won't eat it, and the rust won't eat it, the thieves will. So they'll get it one way or the other. 21st verse. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, don't bury your heart in those treasures, because those treasures will vanish away or get stolen or rust or corrupt or something. And along with your heart, they'll corrupt your heart. 24th verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. It's impossible to serve two people equally. If you've got more than one boss, you're bound to like one of them better than the other one. In fact, you may get to the point where you love one of them and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is mammon?
Money.
Money. Pure and simple. Mammon was literally the god of wealth. The god of money. So really, mammon is what? The devil. So again, Jesus links them so closely together that you can hardly separate them. Money and the devil. If you serve money, then you're serving the devil. Right? If you love money, then you love the devil more than God, and you'll hate God. But if you love God, you're going to hate the devil. Mammon was a false god of the heathen, the god of wealth. He was one of their false idols. He literally was the devil's representation. And those that worshipped him were worshipping the devil. Now, if you are just using your job as a means to an end in order to serve the Lord, just as the one meat packer in Chicago said, preaching the gospel is my main business, but I pack pork to pay expenses. Well, see, that's different. He didn't love his business. He didn't love the money. He was just using the money. There's many a minister who has to work for a living, and there's many a minister going to have to work for a living in the days to come. If they better learn something, they better learn some kind of useful trade right now that will be useful in the economy that's coming, or they will be liquidated as the non-essential classes. They better have some kind of a manual trade that's going to be useful in a materialistic economy if they expect to survive in the days to come.
I guess everybody likes money, but that just means they like the devil.
You don't really like the money. You like to have the things that money will buy, but you can't love those either. Your consecration to the Lord should become so pure that you wouldn't even want to spend the money for anything that isn't necessary or for anything that doesn't help you or help somebody else. That's the ultimate. That you only spend your money for that which is necessary to help yourself or other people. A lot of people think they need things that they just want. If you keep getting things and wanting things that you don't really need, then you love those things. If you get things that you just want and you don't really need, then it's because you love those things. And look out, you may be loving them more than God. You can't serve and labor and work for both. You love one and hate the other. So if you really sort of hate your job, in a way, at least you don't love it as much as love the Lord, then you're on the right track. Some people actually love their jobs more than they love God. Jesus says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. What's he saying? Don't worry about whether I'm going to have anything to eat or enough to wear or not. He doesn't even say your house. Now, there are two things that God knows you can't possibly do without for very long. And what are they?
Clothing and food.
Food and clothing, Jesus said. Don't even worry about the things that you really have to have. Much less the things that you don't even have to have that you just want. He says, don't even worry about the necessities of life. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He says, listen, don't you know that I know that your life is more valuable than your food? And your body is much more valuable than the clothes that you put on it? I know it. I made your body. I gave you the life. He says, don't you think I'm going to take care of it? If I went to all the trouble to make something as valuable as your body and as priceless as your life, don't you think I'm going to give you a little bit of old stinking food to eat so it'll keep you alive and some raiment, some clothes to wear to protect the body? If God made you and your life, he'll certainly make food and clothing for you. He'll certainly take care of that body and that life that he gave you, won't he?
Yeah.
Except in some perhaps extreme cases where he may allow you to give it up as a martyr for his glory. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. They don't even have to reap and store it up for the future. Are ye not much better than they? He says, listen, if I feed the birds, don't you think I'm going to feed you? Don't you think you're important enough that God will give you what you need? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take you thought for raiment? Don't worry about your clothes. Keep them clean, but don't worry about whether you're going to have any. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He's talking now to the servants of God who want to serve God. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, here, look at the lilies. Look at these nice, pretty flowers. God makes them. God clothes them. And they didn't even work for it. So certainly God's going to take care of you, isn't he? Even if you can't work for it. If you work for him, he'll take care of you. 30th verse, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If he's so careful to take care of the grass, which only lasts a little while, and somebody mows it down and throws it away, casts it in the oven, burns it, don't you think he's more concerned about you? He takes care of the grass, he'll sure take care of you, won't he? Therefore, take no thought. That means fretting, anxious thought. Doesn't mean never to prepare. We don't go in there and sit down at the table and say, okay, now God feed us. Somebody has to take a little thought as far as preparation is concerned. That's not the kind of thought it's talking about. It's talking about worrying, lack of faith, afraid that you're not going to get what you need. Don't worry about what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles or the world seek. The worldly people, that's all they live for. That's all they care for. That's all they work for. That's their life. To have something to eat, drink, and wear, and live in. They're slaves to things. I remember a friend of mine, when I was in college one day, while he was gone, some guy came in and swiped his camera and his typewriter and everything else. You know, he had a better attitude about that loss than most Christians do. He acted actually relieved, believe it or not. He says, you know, I'm almost glad that I was getting to where I belong to those things and I was the slave of those things instead of them belonging to me and serving me. I wonder how many people own a car or how many people cars own. I wonder how many people own houses and how many houses own people. I wonder how many people own food and how much food owns some people. Slave to food, you can be a slave to your home, you can be a slave to your car, a slave to your job, a slave to your family. You can be a slave to things. They can own you instead of you owning them. You can be working for them instead of them working for you. For after all these things to the Gentiles, the world, they slave for those things. Those things own them. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. What you need, God knows you need it, doesn't he? What do you slave to it for? Don't be a slave to those things. Let them be your slave. Let them work for you. Don't work for them. It's not that there's anything wrong with money or riches or wealth. There's nothing wrong to have money or riches or wealth. It all depends on whether you own the money or the money owns you. It's your attitude toward it. Do you get the point? It all depends on how the money is used, whether the money is using or the wealth is using you, or whether you're using the wealth. But seek ye first to slave for these things so that you can serve God? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what does that mean? Put God's kingdom first. What is God's kingdom? Jesus said it's within you. What's it composed of? What is a kingdom? It's whatever the king reigns and rules over, whatever he governs and controls. What does Jesus govern and control? What does he reign over and rule over? He rules and reigns over the church. And what is the church? It's souls, people, his people. The kingdom of God is not a building, nor a denomination, nor an organization. It is not the United States of America. It's not Russia. It's not this earthly ball. It's the people who live on it, who love him. It's the children of God. They are his kingdom. People are God's kingdom. Now, if people are God's kingdom, and if you're going to seek first God's kingdom, what are you going to seek? You're going to seek souls for God's kingdom. In other words, you're going to witness, seek souls for the kingdom of God. You're going to do that which helps the kingdom of God. whether it's to do the witnessing and soul winning yourself or help others to witness and soul win. Right? You're going to help the kingdom of God in some way, and to help his kingdom is to help people. In helping people, you're helping God, because he wants to help people, and the way he helps people is through you and me. Right? Then how are you going to seek first his kingdom? Getting God's kingdom in you to begin with. And then getting other people into his kingdom. That's seeking first the kingdom of God by loving God first of all and then loving your neighbor as yourself. It says seek first the kingdom of God. Now that isn't just yourself alone. That includes helping his kingdom in every respect. Now what does it mean by seek first the kingdom of God? How can we seek it first? There's a greater and a more important meaning of the word first, meaning foremost and above all and before everything else, and above everything else and beyond everything else, and more than anything else. You get it? That's the all-inclusive meaning, the most important meaning, that you're seeking God's kingdom more than anything else on this earth, first and above all. First. It'll come in time order, too. Sometimes you'll put God's business before your business. But it means you're working for God more than you are for anything else. It means working for God and others more than for yourself, more than for money, more than for riches, more than for pleasure, more than for health, more than for the government, more than for anything else. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What will happen if you put him and others first, seek them first? He says, all these things shall be added unto you. All these pure material things, which God's got plenty of. If you need it and have to have it, he'll give it to you. If you need these things, he knows you need it and he'll give it to you. Provided you do what? You don't seek them first. Provided you're not working just to get those things. Providing you're not working just for your health or your wealth or your pleasure, but you're working for God and others, he'll give you health and wealth and pleasure. What was it Solomon wanted most of all? Wisdom. He wanted God most of all. Because wisdom is the spirit of God. So God said as a result, he'd give him riches and power and glory and honor as well. Because he wanted God most of all. If you put God first, won't he give you all these other things? If you need them? He may not give you everything you want. He may not give you everything you'd like to have. Or not even sometimes the things you think you need to have. But he will give you what he knows you actually have to have for the sake of his kingdom. If you are putting his kingdom first, everything you want, everything you'd like to have, and everything you need will be used for what? To keep on putting his kingdom first. To keep on using for his kingdom. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do most people do? Bible economics is utterly contrary to the economics of man. God's economics is at war with man's economics. Did you know that? Man's economics says, self-preservation is the first law of nature. I'm to preserve myself. The first law of man's carnal, evil, human, wicked nature. Is I'm going to live for myself first. First I'm going to take care of myself. First I'm going to get mine. Self-preservation. What's God's law of economics? He that would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he that loseth his life for my sake in the gospel shall save it. But he that saveth his life, self-preservation, the same, he says, shall lose it. If you spend your life trying to save your life, you're going to lose your life and lose eternity too. spend your life losing your life for others. That's the secret. God's economy is the diametrical opposite from man's economy. God says, God first, and I'll take care of you afterwards. Man's economy says, me first, and if there's anything left over, I'll give it to God. My time first, if I got a little time left over, I'll give it to God. My money, my needs, my bills paid first. God's economy says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things that people slave for and are slaves of, don't you be a slave of them. Don't you slave for them. You slave for God. Be a God slave. And God will give you these things if you work for him. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, no worrying, doubtful thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't even here yet. Why worry about tomorrow? You got enough to worry about today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.